How does he become a Mahajan? How does he become a Mahajan? He becomes a Mahajan by following in the footsteps of the Mahajans. Prabhupada explains that broadly there are three categories of perfected souls. Right? One category, perfected soul, they are eternally perfected. Nitya Siddha, they are eternally perfected souls, and they come into this, you know, realm to propagate his mission to reclaim conditioned souls. This, you know, Nitya Siddha devotees. And there is another category called Sadhana Siddha. So these Nitya Siddha devotees, they propagate Krishna consciousness, and some of the conditioned souls, they take part in the Krishna consciousness movement, God consciousness movement, and then by, on the strength of their sadhana, you know, and descending mercy, they become purified, they become liberated. And then there is another category called Kripa Siddha. Krishna shows to show his mercy causelessly to some conditioned souls, to some living entities, and they become perfected. So Prabhupada explains that Bali Maharaj is in the third category. Of course, one can only imagine, you know, his amazing lineage. So he's the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. So obviously, the Supreme Lord has to have some special, you know, he has some special affection for Bali Maharaj. So now some of the lessons, so going into the lessons also, and as I said, and purposes, so when the Supreme Lord comes, he doesn't come for just one thing. Prabhupada explains that Bali Maharaj, for example, Bali Maharaj, on account of becoming the, you know, gaining the heavenly kingdom, so he is thinking that now he is the ruler. So the Supreme Lord, he comes to remove that misconception from Bali Maharaj, Prabhupada explains. So this is Krishna's special mercy. This is Krishna's special mercy. That he comes to bring Bali Maharaj closer to him, to awaken his dormant devotional service. We'll read this some verses from the 8th canto, 23rd chapter, how that happens. Just so many purposes. Shukracharya also, you know, the spiritual master of Bali Maharaj. Actually, he is quite, in a way, maligned for the position that he took in preventing, you know, Bali Maharaj from surrendering to Vamanadeva. But again, as I was sharing, as the pastime unfolds, it is seen that Shukracharya is also brought to another platform. So I'll share sometime. So the deliverance of, one can say, Shukracharya, Bali Maharaj, Indra, his mother. Ye yathamam prapadyante. Again, ye yathamam prapadyante. Krishna can accomplish so many things with the same pastime. Like Bali Maharaj, for example, he got the gift of pure devotional service, what is actually also the topic in Vritrasura's pastime. Shukracharya, his consciousness was elevated, like that. So now again, so coming back to the pastime. So the scene is Shukracharya, so Bali Maharaj, in an area called Bhrigu Kacha, Bali Maharaj is performing yajna, and the descendants of Bhrigu Muni and Shukracharya, they are helping him in performing this yajna. And into this, as he's performing this yajna, you know, walks in, you know, a beautifully effulgent, you know, dwarf Brahmana boy. Actually, not a boy, he's a full-grown man. But, you know, in the current mundane world, we would call him a midget or a dwarf. But his features, there was no question about his features. His features identified him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, when he came, there was so much effulgence that the Bali Maharaj and all the rishis, they felt as if 1,000 suns had appeared all at once. And so Vamanadev, he comes. And when Vamanadev, he comes into this yajna, so this is the beginning of the pastime. And as soon as Vamanadev, he sees, as soon as Bali Maharaj sees Vamanadev, his heart is captured by Vamanadev. And he's already decided that to this Brahmana boy, I will give him whatever he asks for. So I was thinking, this is very relevant for us, when our heart is captured by somebody, right, then we are ready to do anything for them. The possessions, it doesn't make a difference. Whatever we have is theirs. So right from the beginning, Bali Maharaj, his heart, he gave his heart to Vamanadev. And Vamanadev, he came and then he asked him, and he's skipping many details, like how Lord Shiva, he takes, he holds the Ganges on his head. Similarly, it is mentioned, Bali Maharaj, following in the footsteps of Mahajana, Lord Shiva, as I was hearing, he washes the lotus feet of Vamanadev, Brahmana. This is a proper etiquette, isn't it? So he washes the lotus feet of Vamanadev. He takes the Charanamrita and puts it on his head. So he's already following the Mahajanas. His grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, is a Mahajana. He's a Kshatriya by nature. And so he receives him properly. He gives him a seat. And then he says, whatever is your desire, whatever you want is yours. Please ask. And then he says, it's beautiful instructions. And he says, ask for so much charity that after asking me for charity, you need not have to ask anymore. So this is the duty of a Kshatriya, a householder, charitable. He is a charitable king, the great devotee king. So he says, ask for as much as you want and you need not have to ask anymore after this. And then Vamanadev, he responds, well, I just need three steps of land. And then Bali Maharaj, he sizes him up and he says, well, you're a dwarf, you're a small boy, dwarf. How much can you cover in 3 pieces of land? Ask more. And Vamanadev, beautifully, he explains some nice instructions, lessons. He says, well, I'm a Brahmana. And if I'm not satisfied with 3 pieces of land, I will not be satisfied with anything. I can have, the whole planet, like there are 9 islands. If I have one island, then I'll hanker for the second island, and the third, and the fourth. So there is no end to lust, as Bhagavad Gita mentions. You keep feeding it, it keeps burning. And he says, a Brahmana, important instructions, a Brahmana who is satisfied by what he receives out of providence, his spiritual prowess and empowerment, it grows. And on the other hand, a Brahmana who is dissatisfied, in a way it's like a misnomer. Brahmana is one of the main qualities of a Brahmana is santushta, he's satisfied. They don't gel. On the other hand, if a Brahmana is dissatisfied, his spiritual prowess, his influence, not that he wants to influence, exert influence over others, but it'll dwindle. So he says, thank you very much, but no thank you. 3 pieces of land will do. He says, okay. So then, as we know the pastime, Vamanadev, with his first step pace, he covers the middle and the upper planetary systems. And with the second step, he takes the lower planetary system. And, important thing. So, anyway, there doesn't have to be sequence. So then Bali Maharaj, Vamanadev says, well, you are a Kshatriya. You have given your word that you will give me 3 pieces of land. But I've only taken 2. And I've taken everything that you have. Now what do we do? So Bali Maharaj says, well, you can put your third step on my head. So anyway, what is he saying? Well, he's saying, it's like he's offering himself, Atma Nivedana. This is all I have now. You've already taken everything that I have. What remains is myself. Manasa, Deha, Geha, Jo Kichu Mor, Arpilu, Tuva Padananda Kishore. So this pastime, it glorifies, it exemplifies surrender, Atma Nivedana. There are nine processes of devotional service: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, and the last one is Atma Nivedana. So Bali Maharaj, he is known to have perfected his life through Atma Nivedana. So he surrenders everything to the Supreme Lord. But the Supreme Lord is such an amazing person that when we surrender to him, one doesn't become a loser. Actually, one gains. So Prabhupada explains, in the Supreme Lord's case, 1 minus 1 is not 0. 1 minus 1 is 1 plus. So you gain back everything that you had anyway. Not only that, you gain something more. So in this case, the Supreme Lord, he gave him, you know, to rule the Suthala planets. Not only that, he said, I will be your doorkeeper. I will be right there personally with you. Not only that, he actually awakened his dormant relationship with him. He gave him pure devotional service. We will discuss this. So seemingly, it seems that, you know, Bali Maharaj got cheated. But did he? Who got cheated actually? Anyway, it's quite, I've been thinking about it. Who got cheated? One can say, well, geez, Indra got cheated. But Indra didn't get cheated. It's very clear. Ye yathamam prapajyante tam sathaiva bhajamyam. The Krishna, Supreme Lord, he is perfectly reciprocating with everyone, with whatever they want. He is not distinguishing that this is a demon, this is a demigod, this is a pure devotee. He is perfectly reciprocating. He has the potency, capacity to perfectly reciprocate with everyone according to their desire. So coming back, so when Bali Maharaj, when he saw Vamanadev entering into the assembly of the Yajna, as I was sharing, his heart was completely captured by Vamanadev. And his spiritual master, Shukracharya, in a way he knows the heart of a disciple. And he could see that Bali Maharaj's heart is moving this way. And the beautiful thing is, Shukracharya, he could tell that this is not an ordinary Brahmana boy. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And he tells Bali Maharaj that actually, no, you don't surrender to him. He has come to cheat you. He will ask for only 3 paces of land, but he'll take everything. And he tries to give him some loopholes. And he says, any promise that is made, you know, without the utterance of the Om, you know, or the sprinkling of the holy waters, is not, you're not bound to it. It's not binding. So he tries to give him ways to get out of his, you know, obligation that he already made. So we can see the tendency, Prabhupada explains, Shukracharya. Literally, Shukracharya means, Shukra means semen. So the seminal guru, you know, like the Kula guru, the seminal guru, the Prabhupada uses a very heavy term called the professional guru, you know. So such professional gurus, he says, like in this case, it's quite stark, where he understands that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's saying, don't surrender to him. So, and then he's trying to give him in different ways to get out. But Bali Maharaj, so they were sharing, it seems, so who is a Mahajan? Mahajan is one who knows the principles of Dharma, right? Mahachana Yanakata Sapantha. That is verse. In that verse it is mentioned that it is very difficult to ascertain in Mahabharata, it is there. It's very difficult to ascertain what is dharma. Even the greatest of, you know, wise people, they get bewildered. But the pure devotees, the Mahajanas, they can ascertain what is dharma. So when Bali Maharaj, when he saw Vamanadeva and he heard this instruction from his spiritual master to not to surrender to him, but then he said, whoa, this is against the principles of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So actually it's a great sin. It's a great sin to disobey one's spiritual master. Like Prabhupada is explaining, just like how when the spiritual master, he accepts a disciple, it's a commitment for life, I mean for lifetimes. He accepts the disciple's commitment till the disciple goes back home, back to Godhead. But then, so there is a commitment for the disciple side as well. The disciple has a similar commitment, Janme Janme Prabhushe, that I will act in my relationship with you. He has to be obedient to the spiritual master. So here, in a way, it's sinful to go against a spiritual master, to disobey him. But then, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra are on his side. So he's able to distinguish between a sub-religious principle and the essential principles of religion. So one of the qualities of a Mahajan. So Bali Maharaj says, thank you very much, but I will, you know, follow my heart. And I will, you know, give whatever I have to Vamanadeva. So that's another amazing point, another lesson. Another is Vamanadeva. Prabhupada was giving this example. One can say Vamanadeva, you know, he cheated. But again, Dharmam tu Shakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. The Supreme Lord, he is above mundane morality. Prabhupada was giving this example. Like for sometimes a father, you know, he cheats his son. He's giving the example. We were saying, for example, or a father cheats his daughter. So he says the father has like two sons or two daughters, and they are fighting with each other about something. And the father, so one person has some, you know, toy or something, whatever he has, and the other son or daughter, they want it. And the father says, can I please have the toy? So he takes the toy or whatever thing, and then he gives it to the other child. So it seems like he cheated the son or the daughter that he took the toy from, and he gave it to the other son. So Prabhupada is explaining, this whole pastime is like that basically. Indra is also one of the sons of the Supreme Lord. Bali Maharaj is also one of the sons of the Supreme Lord. So apparently, now Bali Maharaj has something that Indra used to have. And Vamanadeva is saying, can I please have it? What you have? Then he takes it from him, and then he gives it to Indra. So, but of course, as Prabhupada explains, as our Acharya explained, one never becomes a loser by giving to Krishna. So when Vamanadeva, after he takes away whatever he has, and in the third step, he puts him on his head, Bali Maharaj. Actually, so Vamanadeva, at this point, is quite amazing. He is in a very grave condition, actually. He's very grave. And he is, you know, chastising Bali Maharaj. That actually, you know, you rascal, you gave a word, you didn't keep it. You said you would give me 3 paces of land, you gave me only 2. So, what do I do with you? And Maharaj was explaining, Prabhupada was explaining, I mean, Bali Maharaj, in such a condition, he doesn't protest. What do we do? You know, firstly, we would not even give away whatever we have, right? And then even after giving away whatever we have, and if a devotee asks for more, like, are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? What's wrong with you? But Bali Maharaj, you know, he doesn't protest. And in fact, he said that while this is happening, so then Bali Maharaj, he calls, I mean, Vamanadeva, He calls for Garuda, and then he binds Bali Maharaj through the like the ropes of, you know, Varuna. He captures him like a common criminal, you know, like a straitjacket. He can't move, nothing. So it's like almost like a slave, you know, he ties him up. And then as this is happening, of course, the different people in the audience, they're having different reactions. So it is mentioned that Prahlad Maharaj is thinking, wow, this is great. This is very good. Prahlad Maharaj's grandfather, I think this is great. This is Krishna's special mercy upon my grandson. And then Bali Maharaj's sister, she's, you know, very upset. Like, how could you? How could you treat my brother like this? He has given everything that he has, and you're asking for more. So she says, it's unfair. And she has this strong urge to take his life, to kill Vamanadeva. But of course, when she initially sees Vamanadeva, when he walks in like everybody else, she's like flabbergasted. She's like floored by his exquisite beauty, and her, you know, motherly tendencies, they come up, and she desires to have such a child as her son. So our acharyas explain that Bali Maharaj's sister, she is putana in Krishna's pastimes. So she gets to fulfill both her desires. So even when putana, when she first sees Krishna, her first look, wow, what an exquisitely beautiful child. So her motherly tendencies or affection that she had, Krishna fulfilled that. And then he also gave her a choice, gave her the option, the desire to fulfill, to take his life. So again, Krishna is fulfilling so many different living entities' desires at the same time. Just like how it's happening even here, right? The Kishore temple. We are different, so many devotees are here in the temple, and we have, you know, many spiritual desires. We have not even disclosed some of the spiritual desires to somebody, you know, but Krishna is there in the heart of every living entity, of all the devotees. And he's, you know, beautifully orchestrating, you know, services. Like, it happens to some of us where we have not expressed our desire, but then, you know, some devotee will come and say, do this, you know, that. You know. And Krishna will also orchestrate ways to purify us. So Krishna is, you know, is like a beautiful magician, you know, it's like an adventure. He's making things happen and that. So here his So Bali Maharaj is, you know, is tied up like a common criminal, and as I said, Prahlad Maharaj was very happy about, you know, the situation. His sister was a little disheartened, more than disheartened. And then eventually Bali Maharaj, you know, he is told by Vamanadeva that actually you go to the Sutala planets and I will personally accompany you. I'll be there with you. I'll be the doorkeeper. And not only that, he also tells Prahlad Maharaj, you also go and stay with, you know, Bali Maharaj. So Krishna, another quality of Krishna, he is Bhakta Vatsala. Bali Maharaj, he has given himself completely to Lord Krishna, to Vamanadeva. So it's not that Vamanadeva says, thank you very much, see you later. He gives himself completely to Bali Maharaj, to the extent that he agrees to be the doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj. Another important, you know, aspect to this whole pastime, in a spiritual master who is a spiritual master. The Prabhupada usually quotes, I mean, many verses, but at least two verses. Again and again he quotes. Kiva vipra kiva nyashi shudra kine nai ye krishna tattva veta she guru hoy. And then he also says, like in the case, like in Shukracharya's case, right? What is that verse? In Satkarma Ipuno Vipro Mantra Tantra Visharada. Where that verse begin? Bhagavad Gita 2.7. Satkarma Nipuno Vipra Mantra Tantra Visharadha Avaishnavo Gurur Nasyad Vaishnavo Sopacha Guru. So a Brahmana, he may be expert, like a Brahmana typically is expert in six things: Yajan Yajan, Patan Patan, and Dana Pratigraha. His business is to perform, to engage himself in yajnas, engage others in yajnas. Learn scriptures, teach scriptures, give charity, accept charity. So he may be very expert. Mantra, tantra, visharada means very expert. Satkarma, nipuna, vipra. Nipuna means expert. Visharada also means expert. But avaishnava gurur nashyad. But if he is not a Vaishnava, he cannot be a guru. On the other hand, Vaishnava Swapacho Guru, a Vaishnava who knows Krishna Tattva, even though he may be born in the family of a Chandala dog eater, he can be a guru. Vaishnava can be a guru. Yeah. So Shukracharya, Prabhupada explains, so that Bali Maharaj could afford to let him go. This is also another principle, that in our life, there are many, many teachers. Gurus are also of different kinds. And eventually, when we come in contact with a Sadguru, we should accept him as a bona fide spiritual master. So then, to be attached to our, you know, Kula Guru and, you know, other teachers is not anukula for bhakti. So Bali Maharaj, he understood that being attached to Shukracharya because he is my guru will not be favorable for my devotional service. So he understood the principles of dharma, you know, Bhagavad dharma, and he accepted, you know, the Supreme Lord. So this is another important one. So we meet many, many teachers in our life, but then, having come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, our allegiances, former allegiances, should be properly, you know, redistributed. We should have gratitude in our heart for everyone, for all of our teachers. But then we should also understand clearly, you know, who is, you know, bringing what to the table, and have proper gratitude. So this is properly respecting. It's actually seems like disrespect, but it is not disrespect. To respect, you know, a kindergarten teacher, for being the kindergarten teacher is appropriate. You know, to respect, you know, a spiritual master for who he is, that is appropriate. Yeah, and anybody who understands, you know, all these principles, they will actually encourage. You know, if you have found the right teacher, you know, go take his shelter. Like I was watching Memories of Prabhupada, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, very beautiful. He was sharing, even before he met Prabhupada, you know, he was searching for the absolute truth. And he came across many, many teachers. And before Srila Prabhupada came to the West, while he was in college, he had a guru, he had a teacher. And he taught him whatever he knew. And then, but then as soon as Srila Prabhupada came, he came to the West. He was sharing later that he stopped teaching. He stopped, whatever he was teaching, he stopped teaching. And he, in many dialogues, he told Bhakti, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, that actually I have been preparing you, you know, for this moment. Many gurus are even there now. I've been preparing you for His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, to come, and now He has come. Then you go and take His shelter. So this is a Brahmana in a way. Although, you know, he had his own conceptions about many things, but one thing he was clear, that he said, I'm not your guru. It's the Prabhupada is your guru. And then his own Bhakti Tita Maharaj would say, so he went to his Hare Krishna movement, and then just like any spiritual society, he saw that, you know, all was not well, you know, because after all, we are conditioned souls. We are trying to practice Krishna consciousness. So he saw, you know, things that were, you know, not so attractive to him. So he came back. And his teacher, he chastised him. He said, this is nonsense. He says, now you have found a guru, proper guru, so you should never come back to me and ask these questions. Whatever questions you have, you go and ask him. He will give you the proper answers. Yeah. So this is one example, you know, from our own acharyas. So he was saying, so of course I have great gratitude, I have regard for this, for my teacher, and I'm very grateful to him that sort of he didn't like hold me back. You know, some of us have this tendency of holding people back because it's all about us, like Shukracharya. It's one other important word. Shukracharya, when he was telling him, don't surrender, he was saying, well, if you give everything to Vamanadeva, what will you have? You'll have nothing. And if you will have nothing, what will I have? I'm your priest. I'm your family priest. So it was about him. So Vaishnava, he is magnanimous. He is not checking anybody's spiritual progress. And so this is applicable to us. So we are involved in many devotees' lives. And to the degree we can help somebody come closer to Krishna, we do our part. But then we have to understand, we all have our limitations. And we should, you know, be happy to let go, so to speak, not just, you know, have proprietorship over people, over bhaktas, and just hang on to them, although we cannot take them further anymore. So then when the right person is there, you know, through a nice dialogue, that should be done. Like Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction, this one, in the verse where he talks about Uttam Adhikari. He says, a Madhyam Adhikari, he may bring somebody to a certain realm. But if the Madhyam Adhikari is thinking that he can, you know, take the neophyte to the topmost stage, he is an illusion. He has to bring the, you know, the young devotee or the new devotee to the lotus feet of an Uttam Adhikari. So we have to get out of the way many times, not check anybody's spiritual progress. Of course, we should take our place. So sometimes the tendency is to just abdicate our position. No, it takes many devotees to take somebody back home, back to Godhead. It's not just one, like Maharaj is discussing. Who delivers the disciple? The living entity. Is it the guru, the shastra? It's a very detailed subject matter. So many devotees are playing, you know, a role like that. So Shukracharya, he was, you know, having proprietorship over his disciple. But Bali Maharaj, he was not having any like false, you know, sentimental loyalties. He had great respect for Shukracharya. But then he understood that, no, I have to surrender to Vamanadeva. And he followed his heart. So now I'd like to read some section of this pastime, which usually is sort of not talked about. At least I didn't hear much. This is the 23rd chapter. After the demigods, they have regained their heavenly planets. And Bali Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, they've been requested to go to the Sutala planet. And having been assured with the Supreme Lord that I'll be there personally with you. So I'd like to read a few verses from there. They're very, very instructive, very, very beautiful. I think we will go over time today. I'm not even spoken anything about Jiva Goswami. See. So this is Bali Maharaj's Sata. Verse 23, text 1, a purport. Sukadeva Goswami said, when the Supreme Ancient Eternal Personality of Godhead had thus spoken to Bali Maharaj, thus meaning Gauri Sutala, I'll join you. Bali Maharaj, who is universally accepted as a pure devotee of the Lord and therefore a great soul, Bali Maharaj, his eyes filled with tears, his hands folded, and his voice faltering in devotional ecstasy, responded as follows. What I was sharing, Bali Maharaj's condition of his heart when Vamanadeva had entered. Bali Maharaj said, what a wonderful effect there is in even attempting to offer respectful obeisances to you. I merely endeavored to offer you obeisances, but nonetheless, the attempt was as successful as those of your devotees. He's saying, even the attempt to offer obeisances to Krishna, he was saying, I didn't even offer obeisances, just the attempt, the thought of offering obeisances. And he was saying, I have achieved the same destination, the same gift as the pure devotees have received. The causeless mercy you have shown to me, a fallen demon, was never achieved even by the demigods or the leaders of the various planets. So Prabhupada writes in his beautiful purport, when Vamanadeva appeared before Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj immediately wanted to offer him respectful obeisances, but he was unable to do so because of the presence of Shukracharya and other demoniac associates. So his heart is moving, he wants to offer obeisances, but then his demoniac associates are there. Sometimes we do this, right? We don't want to disturb others. Shukracharya is there, his associates are there. So he is not able to. But the Lord is so merciful, however, that although Bali Maharaj did not actually offer obeisances, but only endeavored to do so within his mind, the Supreme Personality of Godhead blessed him with more mercy than even the demigods could ever expect. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Svalpam api asya dharmasya thayate mahato bhayat. Even a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Bhavagrahi Janardana because he takes only the essence of a devotee's attitude. If a devotee sincerely surrenders the Lord as a super soul in everyone's heart, immediately understands this. Thus, even though externally a devotee may not render full service, if he is internally sincere and serious, the Lord welcomes his service nevertheless. Thus the Lord is known as Bhavagrahi Janardana because he takes the essence of one's devotional mentality. What an amazing Lord. Hare Krishna. After speaking, Sukadeva Goswami continued, after speaking in this way, Bali Maharaj offered his obeisances first to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, and then to Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Thus he was released from the bondage of the Nagapashas, the ropes of Varuna, and in full satisfaction he entered the planet known as Sutala. I'll read something from Prahlad Maharaj, what he says. When Prahlad Maharaj heard how Bali Maharaj, his grandson and descendant, had been released from bondage and had achieved the benediction of the Lord, he spoke as follows in a tone of greatly ecstatic devotion. Prahlad Maharaj said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are universally worshipped. Even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva worship your lotus feet. Yet, although you are such a great personality, you have kindly promised to protect us, the demons. I think that such kindness has never been achieved, even by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. What to speak of other demigods or common people? O supreme shelter of everyone, great personalities like Brahma enjoy their perfection simply by tasting the honey of rendering service at your lotus feet. But as for us, we are all rogues and debauchees, born of an envious family of demons. How have we received your mercy? It has been possible only because your mercy is causeless. Supreme Lord replies, my dear son Prahlad, all good fortune unto you. For the time being, please go to the place known as Suthala and there enjoy happiness with your grandson and your other relatives and friends. So now the beautiful thing is, so now another important one. So the Bali Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, they have now gone to Suthala. And so now we are back to the scene of the Yajna, right? So Vamana Dev is there. Shukracharya is there. And then beautiful point here. So now, so the Supreme Lord is turning his attention to Shukracharya to deliver him. He says, Hari, the personality of Godhead, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, thereafter addressed Shukracharya, who was sitting nearby in the midst of the assembly with the priest, Brahma, Hota, Udgata, and Advaryu, the four priests. O Maharaj Parikshit, these priests were all Brahmavadis, followers of the Vedic principles for performing sacrifice. So he asks him, O best of the Brahmana Shukracharya, please describe the fault or discrepancy in your disciple Bali Maharaj. This fault will, and then he says, Bali Maharaj who engaged in performing sacrifice, this fault will be nullified when judged in the presence of qualified brahmanas. This is again very important cultural point. So Prabhupada writes in this purport. So what is he saying? So they're gone, and Vamanadeva is asking Bali Maharaj, please tell me, you know, describe the faults or discrepancies in your disciple. And he's saying this fault will be nullified when judged in the presence of qualified brahmanas. So Prabhupada writes, when Bali Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj had departed for the planet Suthala, Lord Vishnu asked Shukracharya what the fault was in Bali Maharaj for which Shukracharya had cursed him. So now this is a nuance. It might be argued that since Bali Maharaj had now left the scene, how could his faults be judged? Right? This is like a Vaishnava principle in one sense. So he's saying, well, he's gone, so can we talk about him behind his back? Right? So the Supreme Lord is asking Shukracharya, he says, well, please, of course he's his disciple, we understand. So in a way there's no fault per se. He's a spiritual master. So even if he finds fault with his disciple, there's no issue. But then this is a Vaishnava principle. So here, but then the Supreme Lord himself says, Dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. This fault will be nullified when judged in the presence of qualified brahmanas. Yeah. So sometimes, I was thinking for a practical application for us, you know, we have hopefully some qualified devotees in our lives, you know, and we all make mistakes, right? We all make mistakes. Who doesn't make mistakes? And sometimes to sort the matter, so the Vaishnavas and the spiritual masters, they may have to discuss things about us, basically. They may have to discuss things about us in our absence or in our presence. It doesn't matter. But in our heart, if we have this condition that this Vaishnavas and my spiritual master, they're my well-wishers, it will not be an issue. But otherwise, if we don't have that conception, then we will think, oh, Guru Maharaj, you know, he didn't really hear me, what I had to say about this matter. You know, so we can make these false conclusions that actually, you know, the Vaishnavas, they didn't take the time to hear from this party, hear from that party, and so on and so forth. So they don't have to. I mean, of course, they are qualified, you know, Vaishnavas, qualified Brahmanas. They don't have to. Here is the proof. He's saying, this fault will be nullified when judged in the presence of qualified Brahmanas. Yeah. Anyways, come back. So Bali Maharaj So Shukracharya is being asked, what was the discrepancy? So this is again like a trick question actually. The trick question. There is no discrepancy. But he wants to hear from Shukracharya. But the Shukracharya, he learned, you know, what his lesson. So he's beautifully how Shukracharya speaks. At least for me, it was quite purifying because we only see like one aspect of Shukracharya, like, you know, the person who prevented, you know, Pali Maharaj from surrendering to Vishnu. So here, we get a full picture of Shukracharya. In reply to this, Lord Vishnu informed Shukracharya that there was no need for Bali Maharaj's presence, for his faults and discrepancies could be nullified if judged before the Brahmanas. Hare Krishna. As will be seen in the next verse, Bali Maharaj had no faults. Shukracharya had unnecessarily cursed him. Nonetheless, this is another beautiful point, the curse of a qualified person, it turns to be a blessing in disguise. Nonetheless, this was better for Bali Maharaj. Being cursed by Shukracharya, Bali Maharaj was deprived of all his possessions. He said that actually, that you will lose everything. If you surrender to this guy, this Brahmana, you lose everything. Being cursed by Shukracharya, Bali Maharaj was deprived of all his possessions, with the result that the Supreme Personality of Godhead favored him for his strong faith and devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead favored him for his strong faith in devotional service. So he went with the devotion in his heart. He saw Vamanadev, his heart moved in a certain direction. Yes, I'm going to give him everything. It seems like, whoa, wow, that's like, you know, blind faith or sentimentalism. But you would understand, Bali Maharaj is a qualified person. He's a grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. So he's a Mahajana. Prabhupada, of course, explains that he becomes a Mahajana by following in the footsteps of a Mahajana. So by actually surrendering to Vamanadev, he becomes a Mahajana. Yeah. And then he says, of course, a devotee is not required to engage in fruitive activities. As said in the Shastra, Sarva Haranam Achyutejya. By worshipping Achyuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one satisfies everyone. Because Bali Maharaj had satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there were no discrepancies in his performance of sacrifices. Now, so Shukracharya beautifully explains. My Lord, you are the enjoyer and lawgiver in all performances of sacrifice, and you are the Yajna Purusha, the person to whom all sacrifices are offered. If one has fully satisfied you, where is the chance of discrepancies or faults? His performance of sacrifice. Hari Gopal. And then, guess what he says next? There may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles. And moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person and paraphernalia. But when your Lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. Hare Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami continued, in this way, the most powerful Shukracharya accepted the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full respect. Along with the best Brahmanas, he began to compensate for the discrepancies in the sacrifices performed by Bali Maharaj. Anyway, so the discrepancy was actually, he was the discrepancy, Shukracharya, and that was rectified by Vamanadevs. Just one last thing before we end. The benediction of hearing this pastime. If one hears about the uncommon activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his various incarnations, he is certainly elevated to the higher planetary system or even brought back home, back to Godhead. Whenever the activities of Vamanadeva are described in the course of a ritualistic ceremony, whether the ceremony be performed to please the demigods, to please one's forefathers in Pitraloka, or to celebrate a social event like a marriage, that ceremony should be considered to be extremely auspicious. So many things more can be said, but we'll pause here. And if you would like to share anything that touched your heart from this past time, you're welcome. 8:40. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. Microphone.
I was just trying to understand. You were mentioning this point that Vamandev is reciprocating with the desire of his devotees. So, like Indra and Bali Maharaj, they have different desires, so they are getting different things from Vamandev. But I mean, if you look at the past time before, what is happening is basically Bali Maharaj is conquering the three worlds. So it seems he also has some material desires, but when Vamandev comes, there's no tinge of material desires. So I'm just trying to understand how the reciprocation happens, and I mean, how the mercy is actually acting.
How the reciprocation happens?
I mean, because it seems that Bali Maharaj had some desires, otherwise there would be no point in conquering the other, like, all the three realms.
Okay, one way to understand that is, that's why Prabhupada mentions that Bali Maharaj, he falls in the category of Kripa Siddha, the Supreme Lord. As you said, you know, the Supreme Lord shows him his special mercy in that way, that it seems that although he has, you know, he is ruling the heavenly planets, but then as soon as Vamanadeva comes, you know, he's a completely different person. Yeah, so that can happen. I don't know if that satisfies your curiosity. Yeah. And that's why I read the verse, which I read at the end, Bali Maharaj, like his heart, when he entered, his internal disposition of the heart, he wanted to offer obeisances, he could not, you know, like that. So he was there. Externally, he may or may not have been able to show it, but his heart was there. And Krishna, he knows, he's there as in the heart of everyone. And also, as we see from so many, we should also, of course, understand that this is the pastime of the Lord, Leela. Like the same way we explain, how do we explain that His Divine Grace, Sachidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day tomorrow, you know, like in his mid-30s, he came in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings and boom, like that. He read Chaitanya Charitamrita cover to cover, Srimad Bhagavatam, boom, finish. So these are pastimes of perfected souls. So Bali Maharaj also is in that category. Yeah, is that okay? Thank you, Hare Krishna. Anyone else, anything?
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada. I'm trying to just synchronize two things here. I'm trying to understand two things here, like incarnation of Lord Narasimhadev. Then Prahlad Maharaj was benedicted that the seven generations before you and seven generations after you will be liberated. So I'm just trying to again like understand like here. Bali Maharaj was grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, and his sister is also comes under the seven generations of Prahlad Maharaj. So,
okay, the classic question. So, what is our idea of liberation?
Like. I understand like liberation is like they are in, situated always with the Godhead, Supreme Personality. That's, there are various classification of liberation again, like there are various levels, like some are merged into Brahmajyoti, that's okay. Also so liberation.
The five kinds of liberation. Okay.
And some are directly serving to the Lord, that's also a kind of liberation, but there are different levels.
Good. What you mentioned, the first sentence that you uttered was important. What you mentioned, your understanding of liberation is that somebody is situated back to home, back to Godhead. Right? Our Acharyas also explained, Srimad Bhagavatam is there, there's a verse that Sarupena Vyavasthitihi. Sarupena Vyavasthitihi. Being situated in one's Swarupa, that they identify as liberation. So back to Godhead again, is it a realm? Is it a place? It's both. So our Acharyas explain, when we hear that 7 generations or 21 generations above and below will get liberated, what that means is they will get an opportunity for devotional service. And on the strength of which they will come to be situated in their Swarupa. So liberation could mean what you said, no more birth, death, disease, old age and that, back home, back to Godhead. But our Acharyas explained it means getting an opportunity for devotional service. So now you brought 2 examples. So confirm, Bali Maharaj, in this case, it seemed as Advaita Charanpa was asking, for some amount of time in his life, it seemed that, where's devotional service? But then, boom, you know, based on this Leela, it just awakened. Prabhupada writes that specifically Vamanadev, he comes, appears to sort of wake up Bali Maharaj, one can say, to take him back home, back to Godhead. So he comes to liberate him. And he says, your liberation is, you will be in Sutala planet, Prahlad Maharaj will be with you, I'll be with you. Not Salokya, I'll be with your planet. You don't come to me, I'll come to you. And similarly, his sister also, as he said. So, as the Acharyas explained, Puthana, she got the opportunity, like her sister, she got the opportunity to again take part in Krishna's pastimes as Puthana. And even so, she had her maternal affection that she had. Maternal affection that she had. You know, that was fulfilled, and then she also got, of course, the liberation that she also mentioned, Sayujya Mukti, version. So liberation, it's very important that we should understand Vaishnavas. We should clearly understand, liberation. As you said, broadly, there are 5 kinds of liberation. Sayujya, Sarupya, Salokya, Sannidhi, Sarishti. Vaishnavas abhor Sayujya Mukti because it doesn't give them a chance to perform devotional service. So it's not in their consideration at all. But then more than that, back to Godhead or liberation is a realm. More than the realm, it's a place. Right? Narayana Parasarve Nakutasya Bibhyati Swargam Swarga apavarga narakeshu apituliyata darshanam. That those who are attached to Lord Narayana, they are fearless in any situation of life. They can be in Swargaloka, they can be in Naraka, hellish planets, they can be in back to Godhead. For them, they are all the same. Because they are rendering devotional service. So that's higher for them. They already have it. So then everything else is immaterial. So liberation means an opportunity to perform devotional service. That. And then how the Supreme Lord does that, how he liberates any one of us is really between him and our spiritual master and us. None of others really know how a soul goes back home, back to order. It's very, very mystical how he delivers. Like this was asked, maybe over answering your question, but one devotee once asked, I hear that the spiritual master has to take birth again and again, if the disciple doesn't go back home, back to Godhead. So the disciple was like, oh, wow, I'm really concerned. am I the cause of my spiritual master's birth again and again? So the Acharya explained, we can take it literally, but we can also take it, how the spiritual master may do it, it varies. He's very expert. Like he was sharing, like Srila Prabhupada, many of his disciples, when in his personal presence, they were very connected. They were very, connected with him. But as time passed on, some of them drifted away. But then he was sharing, through Srila Prabhupada's centennial celebrations, like 1996, this was almost like 20 years ago. Through the centennial celebrations, many of the disciples of Prabhupada again came back. You follow? So in a way, Srila Prabhupada, through his centennial celebrations, he is reclaiming many. Like that. So how it may happen like that? Similarly, Bilwa Mangal Thakur, the prostitute, she spoke to him. And then he woke up. So how a soul goes back home, back to Godhead, it's a very mystical, mysterious, amazing adventure. Okay? Thank you, Hare Krishna. Anything else? Okay. Well, quickly about Jiva Goswami, 5 minutes. So Srila Jiva Goswami is one of the 6 Goswamis that is on the altar. He is the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and they had another brother, Sri Vallabha. So Jiva Goswami was Sri Vallabha's son. Yeah. Prabhupada would talk about Jiva Goswami in this way. He said he is the topmost scholar that ever lived on this planet. Single-handedly, he composed 400,000 verses in Sanskrit. So that's like, 3 Mahabharatas. Mahabharata is 100,000 verses. 3 Mahabharatas, 18,000, bunch of Bhagavatams and some Bhagavad Gitas, single-handedly. But of course, it was not just a scholastic, rendering. It was a devotional rendering. Jiva Goswami, he also put, like Gopal Bhatta Goswami, one of our other Goswamis, Jiva Goswami is credited with writing the Sandarbhas. So our acharyas explain that Gopal Bhatta Goswami, is his greatness, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he compiled detailed notes, topic by topic on, Srimad Bhagavatam, so on and so forth, and which he gave to Jiva Goswami to properly put them, compile them. Similarly, Gopal Bhatta Goswami also gave another set of writings to Sanatan Goswami, which is Hari Bhakti Vilas. So Jiva Goswami is credited with so many things. He was asked by his elder brothers, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, to proofread, their Srimad Bhagavatam commentary. So he's written commentary in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, verse by verse. He's written, at least 15 or 20, different scriptures. It is mentioned that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first, when he came to Ramakheli, after he took sannyas and he met Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, Sri Jiva was very, very young at that time. Very young, just newborn. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he personally gave him his mercy. He put his lotus feet on Sri Jiva Goswami's, head, and he proclaimed that this gentleman, will be a great Vaishnava. He will propagate Vaishnavism far and wide. Sri Jiva Goswami, because he was much younger, he was a nephew, so he didn't have much association of Lord Chaitanya. And after his father's disappearance also, Sri Vallabha's, so he was mostly with his mother for a long time. And it is mentioned that they both were, in tears, they would just, cry in tears of separation. That was their condition. They were like, almost could not sustain themselves, both of them. And then at a particular time, Sri Jiva Goswami, he went to Vrindavan, and he was there with Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami, he personally carved a deity which he gave to Sri Jiva Goswami to worship him, to worship Radha Damodar, Damodar. And his worship was so amazing, it is mentioned that he would sing for Damodar and Damodar would dance for him. So that was the level of devotion they had, when he had, and they had for each other. Sri Jiva Goswami, he took shelter of Lord Nityananda. He came to Navadvip. And the first Navadvip Mandal Parikrama is mentioned, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his book, Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. Lord Nityananda, he took Jiva Goswami personally to all the different places where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they perform these pastimes. And the Lord Nityananda, knowing that Jiva Goswami will be this, outstanding acharya for future generations, he had him get trained. He sent him specifically to, I don't have the names handy, but he sent him to one person to learn everything about, nyaya and logic and so on and so forth, so that everything could be comprehensively, put. So he gave him training by sending him to qualified Vaishnavas to prepare him for the future service. Sri Jiva Goswami eventually had three stalwart disciples, Narottam Das Thakur, Shiksha disciples, maybe one Diksha also, Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda, Srinivas Acharya. So originally, they were the Sankirtana party. They were the part of the traveling Sankirtana party. So Jiva Goswami, some tidbits here and there. He was so revered by the king, by the Mughal kings at that time, Akbar, I think. He was so amazed by Jiva Goswami's qualification that he invited him and wanted to offer him whatever he wanted. And at that time, still the scriptures were mostly written on palm, on leaves basically. And paper had just was discovered or had just come about. And so he asked Akbar, "I want paper." so that he could, publish scriptures, write them. So he asked for paper. So it is mentioned that Jiva Goswami, he would engage, some people have this special gift, they are calligraphers, they are scribes. So he would engage these scribes in writing down Srimad Bhagavatam. So right now we have, BBT, just printing presses. But back then, persons and palm leaves or paper, those were the books. That's how books were published. So Jiva Goswami prolifically, he wrote literatures. And then he engaged others in writing literatures. And not only that, he engaged these disciples to take the Goswami's teachings far and wide. Bullock cart party. Not only that, because he was so qualified, he put to samadhi many of these elevated scriptures that the Goswamis wrote. Because he understood the utter lack of qualification of the people of the Kali Yuga. They cannot understand beyond Isopanishad and Bhagavad Gita. It will be too much for them. Yeah, it's esoteric stuff. So he had the qualification. So he did a Grantha Samadhi. So literally, so many of these literatures, they were put in Samadhi because people could not, it will be detrimental for their spiritual life to have access to such scriptures. And so much can be said about Sri Jiva Goswami. Time is limited. Thank you for your patience. Please read about him, hear about him, glorify Jiva Goswami, Pali Maharaj, Vamanadev. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Anyway.